Good to see everyone here this morning. Folks are coming in. They're going to have to kind of go this way. That's good. Hey, why don't we do this morning? Why don't we just all bow and begin with a word of prayer? Ask the Lord to invade this place, receive the worship that we give him, prepare our hearts. We might go out of here changed because we've heard his word, and then we'll get started. So let's pray silently, and then I'll lead us at the end. Father, we read in your word that the prayers of your saints are like incense that floats up, a fragrant smell to you and your nostrils. We offer our prayer to you. We thank you that you've given us the avenue of coming into your presence anytime, all the time. We ask that this morning you would have your way in this place. Father, I pray that you would have your way in my heart. I pray that for everyone in this place as well. May everything that's done from this prayer and silence, the Lord's Supper, singing, preaching, listening, super church, nursery, everything that happens, pray that it would be pleasing to you. Thank you that you inhabit the praise of your people, and we're here to that end this morning. And so we ask that you would take control of this worship service. We invite you in, Holy Spirit, to reign and guide and direct and teach just like you do. And we pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Before Super Church leaves this morning, I wanted to do something. This is really going to be the first part of this morning's message. And I wanted to call a few people up front. Calm your heart. If I didn't talk to you, you're good. All right. And what we're going to talk about today, we're in the last chapter of Colossians, the last few verses, and what Paul does is he just lists eight people, and nine including himself, and then he speaks of some of the positive qualities that they had as servants of the Lord. And at that particular time in his ministry, that was the team. And at different times, the team changes depending upon demand, depending upon need, depending upon where they're at, things like that. I wanted us as a church family to see what teams had to be functioning for Sunday morning to happen. We come in here, obviously, you got to have a preacher, and Jay has made himself known this morning, adjusting me and doing that kind of stuff, so that's sight and sound. We've got worship leaders, but there are a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes as well, and I wanted us to see how many people are part of the team that makes just a Sunday morning happen, not even all of the other things that go on, though I'm going to mention some of those in a little bit as well. And so I'm going to mention some people, and as I mention you, go ahead and come on forward, and then I'll just kind of walk through it real quick. They don't have to speak. I want to ask Brad to come on up here, and Donna, and Margie, and Lynn, and Anna, and Jay, and Chris, Adrian, Angie, Brandon, wherever you're at. Lynn's hair changed. Ameo, come on up here. Ashley, John West, if you would. Brian as well. And these aren't the people that are always only involved. Kind of scooch on in here if you would. These aren't the people that are always only involved on a Sunday morning. But these people represent different teams or different groups of people that are allowed to make a Sunday morning happen. And let me just kind of start. Well, I've got my list, and I don't want to get confused. Let me start with Brad, and Brad represents our security team. And I knew it would be either a blue jacket hoodie or one of the shirts that they have. And when you see the men wearing those, they're our security team. Aren't you glad for our security team? Amen. I am the most protected. We are the most protected church in Jackson County, all right? I'm not saying that nothing could happen, but it wouldn't be very much, all right? Brad, how many people are on your security team?
Nine
men that make up part of the security team. Different weeks, they've got nine so that not everybody has to serve every week. And so Brad is just a representative of that team, and they've got a fantastic team. If you had someone else that were interested in being part of security, would it be a consideration?
Yeah, we'd always talk to people.
Always talk to people, okay. Donna helps us with on a Sunday morning issue. She's here during the week as well. But if you gave an offering this morning, Donna is one of the ones that gets that counted, gets it deposited, represents the office as well. If you read your bulletin, Donna was the one who printed it. Okay, all right, and so. Margie made the Lord's Supper happen this morning, okay? And she's got other people that help her, and it's a tool that helps us remember our Lord's death until he comes. And she isn't doing that every week. It's once a month is what we do, and then every now and then we'll change it up just a little bit because of need. But it's a tool that allows us to consider who our Lord is, and we're thankful for that. Lynn is back in the back, and I asked her, I'm not supposed to say who the puppet people are, and so I'm just going to move on from there, okay? Now, every now and then, though, they'll pop their heads up in our baptistry, and actually they're going to start doing an announcement or two for our Passover dinner as well. And that's a puppet ministry that we have that works also with sixth graders. Anna is here representing the worship team, all right? What's Lynn doing? Okay. Anna is here representing the worship team, and obviously it wasn't everybody. She isn't everybody because Chiago and Kristen were the ones that led this morning. Terry and Michelle are out. They do an awful lot, but she represents our worship team. And Anna, just give me a rough idea of how many people are involved, not sight and sound, but the worship team. Are there a dozen, 10, 12 people, something like that? Okay, at least. Always looking for others. There is a little bit of a listen to how they do it and be listened to as well. And so they represent our worship. And I'm thankful. I really believe that we have more than just music at church. I think we have a genuine opportunity when we choose to engage in worship. Are there different likes and flavors? Sure, of course there are. But you know what I've learned? I've learned that if I really apply myself, I can worship no matter where I'm at, if I have a heartbeat that's for the Lord. Nana represents our worship team. Jay is our sight and sound team. They've got how many people that are up in the sight and sound booth?
Currently four,
looking for others, okay, a little bit of tech savvy. If you're inclined towards that, Jay would take an application, all right? The pay is heavenly, all right? We're thankful for them. Chris McLeod is the one that I text when we're going to observe the Lord's Supper, and then I don't think anything about it. They get it taken care of. Margie fixes it and gets it ready. Chris is the one that gets it distributed to us, which aids us. He also is the chairman of the deacons, and so he has that task as well. Adrian, where is Adrian at? I heard that. Oh, there she is. Adrian needs to talk to you, okay? But Adrian is so calm and peaceful and kind-mannered that she probably wouldn't engage in that conversation by initiating it, all right? Adrian represents our nursery. And we've got some babies, and we've got another baby that's coming. So I can count of three right now that are there. And that's just kind of one of those ministries that goes, you know, just kind of waves. Sometimes there's babies, sometimes there's not. Right now we have some. Wouldn't it be great if we always had 8 or 10 babies that we had to deal with, all right? Some people might say, wouldn't that be great? Some people might say, that's not my gifting. Well, there are some things that I do at my house that might not be my gifting. It's just called housekeeping. And nursery is one of those things where, obviously, there are some people that are just really given to that, and that's great. But we all need to be willing to participate if we can, when we can, so that we can have concentration in here. We don't have 8 or 10 babies crying right now with little toddlers running around, and that's because of our children's ministry, all right? So if you're inclined or interested, we have background searches that we do to protect the children. We'll go there in just a minute. We have background searches that we do to protect our children, to protect our workers, to protect our church as well. And I think that's just something that is a communication of how much we love and are concerned about other people. But Adrian represents our nursery. Angie, where'd Angie go? Angie is down here, and Angie represents our preschoolers, okay? I call them toddlers, preschools, two to potty trained up until when they get to go to Super Church. And again, she works in this wing over here, and there's need, and depending upon the number of kids that are there, or Angie is not shy. She will come after you. Depending upon the number of kids that are there, the need is higher. We always want to have opportunity for visitors to come in. And they, one of the first things that visitors look at is, what are they doing with my children? How friendly are they there? How clean is it there? Are they loving and kind there? And so that happens. And if that didn't happen, we wouldn't have the dynamic that we're able to have in here. And so we're appreciative of that. Angie represents that, but it's a team of people. Let me just mention that Adrian and Andrew, I know that Adrian, what their desire is that if you serve in that capacity, you only serve once every 2 months. Now, that's the best case scenario. And so if everybody's pitching in, then that task is being cared for and we're loving our kids in an appropriate way. Brandon, how many of you have received a bulletin? Brandon has been at the front door ever since the first day that I got here, all right? I don't know how long he had been there already, but he is the first smile. We had somebody drive by and visit our church. It's been some time now. The only reason they came here, they said, is because whenever they would drive by on Sunday morning, Brandon was always waving to them, all right? And Brandon has some helps, and different deacons are stepping in and helping him out now just to greet people so that when we come, we have a friendly smile. It just sets the stage. And I think we've created a thing, and the thing is donut holes. And I don't know how we can get enough donut holes for everybody in the congregation. I'm going to see if they might cut me a deal. A mayo down here, if you walked into the church this morning and it smelled clean, it's because of a mayo, okay? Kakuvi married way over his head. A mayo has this place cleaner than it has ever been. And she does it quietly. She's happy about it. And she sees it as a service as unto the Lord. And it's part of our Sunday morning team. So it's a whole lot more than just somebody preaching and somebody leading in worship. Ashley, amen. Ashley represents Super Church. And Super Church is the ministry that we have for kindergartners, five-year-old and all the way up through sixth grade. And then when they get to that age, you know, it's kind of like I'm older than them. And so she uses the older kids to help teach and to help do things as well. And so she's got a heartbeat for the kids. Ash, about how many people do you have that are helpers in Super Churches, teachers or helpers?
22 teachers and helpers and 6 junior helpers.
Wow. 22 teachers and helpers and 6 junior helpers. And that's because we have a congregation, a church family that loves children, okay? And we need to love children. It's Jesus loves children. Let the little children come unto me. I pray with somebody on Thursday mornings, and from time to time, every now and then, we start in the back, and we just slowly walk forward praying for... praying for every one of us by name, okay? And this last time that we did it, I started thinking about the children and how many of our children continue to need to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And you can't coerce it. You don't want to manipulate it because it's not genuine if it is there. You just want to consistently sow the seed of the Word of God so that the Spirit of God has the opportunity to speak to a child on their level, and he's completely capable of doing that so that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so we're thankful for Super Church also. John West is way down here on the end, and John represents a couple of classes that we have going on at the 9 o'clock hour on Sunday mornings. There's one up here, there's one down in the fellowship hall, there is a rotation, an exchange of who's going to guide the discussion, who's going to be the teacher, and so John represents that happens on Sunday morning. Brian over here, Midget, represents the elders and all that they do in leading our church and praying for our church and genuinely seeking the Lord for wisdom and the direction that he wants. And can I just say, as a pastor, it is a blessing to be able to work with the elders that we have here. We're not perfect. We're just regular human beings, but we have a heartbeat for the Lord. And God continues to bless. And not every pastor can say that, but I'm blessed to be able to say it. All of these people are what it takes to make a Sunday morning happen. We don't always have the puppets. We don't always have some of the things that are going on. But the I'm not even going to look. but these people represent other people that are on their teams. Now, before we stop this, that's just for Sunday morning. So I'm going to go through something else, and this is just through during the week kinds of ministry. And what I'm going to ask these people to do is just stand where you're at and then stay standing if you wouldn't mind. Carrie Mann works with our youth, and she has consistently worked with them for 5 or 6 years now. 7 years, okay, 7 years. They love her, she loves them, they know it, and I'm thankful that she's able to sow the seed of the Word of God in their heart and their life. Kirk Mann, I want you to stand. Kirk, where you been? I know where you've been. Kirk Mann represents the Rooted Together classes that are going to begin the end of March. He's going to teach one. Joshua's going to teach one. And that's just the first two. There are 6 classes total. And so to step in and make a Rooted Together commitment is 8 weeks. That's all it is. We figure everybody can do 8 weeks. I know it's hard, but you can do that. To step in and go forever, that's really tough. And so he represents them. Audrey, go ahead and stand if you will. Audrey represents the Audrey represents the girls. Yeah, do not say little. Audrey represents the fifth and sixth graders. Audrey represents the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade girls' Bible study that's been going on Wednesday nights. And last week they had a bonfire at our house, and I heard one of the girls talking about baptism with the other girls, and so it just opens up doors of opportunities to share the gospel. It's more than baptism. Obviously, that comes after a genuine salvation, but Audrey does that. And Kakuvi, if you would, who married under... Kakuvi is the lead of our missions team. We are involved in missions both locally as well as in different places in the United States as well as around the world, and he helps us with that. Josh has been tasked with discipleship, and so the life groups and the Rooted Together groups, and we're going to have coming up with an outreach thing as well. He's the one that's leading out in that. Marilyn, if you don't mind, helps us out with Evergreens. She's not the only one that helps. There is always a team of ladies. I am always there if I can be because the food is just fantastic. It's just over the top. Okay? And she does that. We've got Evelyn. Where are you at, Evelyn? I chose Evelyn just to represent the kitchen because we have different people for different reasons that use our kitchen, and we do that sometimes with meals. We've got one planned sometime in May where our church family is going to be able to come together after church just for a meal. She'll be involved in that one. I've got Holly Ricker. Holly goes into a job interview telling them, I need vacation Bible school off, okay? I didn't mention this, but Dave, I've got you down here that represents our finance committee, and aren't we glad that we give our finances and they're cared for well, and it gives us a tremendous trust in the things that are going on here for the Lord. And I'm going to ask Josh, would you stand up? You say, what does Josh do? Well, he does some things, okay? But I want him to represent what the next ministry is. Because we're not completely finished with what the Lord wants us to do. The Spirit of God is absolutely capable of giving us a new ministry or changing a direction, and we always have new people that are coming in as well. So I want him to to represent that. I haven't mentioned Rooted Women. We've got a women's group. I haven't mentioned the men's breakfast that we have as well. Those are things that go on. And there isn't, and you shouldn't expect, and you don't, but there isn't any one person or couple of people that could do all of those things. It's a team effort. That's the ministry of the Lord. He has a team effort. And I wanted that to be our first point this morning. So people, thank you very much for coming up and doing that. And recognize that some stood representing lots of others as well. So I just wanted to mention that. Super Church, you guys can go ahead and stand up and take off, all right? And we're going to be in Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 4. And as the epistle of Colossians comes to a close, the Apostle Paul takes the time to mention eight other individuals who sent the believers in Colossae greetings. Nine included himself. This person greets you, this person greets you, this person greets you. They were his team at this particular time in ministry. His team changed. Actually, we're going to read a passage from 2 Timothy in a little while, and it was a completely different team. Some of the names are similar, but it was a different situation, so it was a different team. Let me just read through this. This is a pretty short message after that kind of an introduction. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. With him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you from Colossae. They will tell you of everything that's taken place here. Paul had been in prison for 2 years. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you've received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. The relationship that he had with this team was relational. It was a relational thing, but it wasn't just I like you, you like me, let's walk together because we're friends. It was a relationship with a purpose. And the relationship with the purpose was to serve the Lord in whatever it was that they do. And if we just walk down this line, there are all different kinds of activities that were represented up here this morning. And they could just be represented because security likes security stuff, or because Ashley likes kids stuff, or Evelyn likes kitchen things. It could be that. But the higher level is I do, we do what we do in the relationships that we have as ministry unto the Lord. All right, there's a huge difference there. These individuals were identified by name. Noteworthy characteristics were spoken about them. We're going to identify some of those in a minute. They had spent time together. They prayed together. They suffered together. They ate together. I'm guessing they wept together as well. And so the relationship that they had was centered on Christ, and yet it also lifted high the relationship that they had with each other. God grew Paul to be an incredible leader when you think about it. Do you remember what God had said to Ananias back in Acts chapter 9? He said, I want you to go to this place, remove the scales from his eyes, pray for him, because I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Paul suffered a lot, But he became a great leader in the midst of it as well. And yet he would deflect that and take someone's attention to the person of Jesus Christ, rightly so, because he's the only reason that any of us have a desire to want to serve the Lord in whatever it is that we do. We serve the Lord because of the forgiveness that we receive, what we just preached or proclaimed through the Lord's Supper. He gave his body to be broken. He gave his blood to be shed that we might be forgiven of our sin. And let me just stop and say this. If you're here this morning and you've never engaged or received Jesus Christ, recognize he died on the cross for me, this would be a great time to do that. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Scripture says, by grace, God's grace, are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It isn't something that I stir up or I just don't roll up my sleeves and work it up. It's a gift of God. And every single person from the youngest all the way to the oldest needs to believe on Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for me. Amen? And it's just critical. And it's so easy in our human, it is really easy in our humanness to just kind of be satisfied with just being religious. Or I don't really do all that much that bad if I compare myself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus. Okay, compare yourself to Jesus and we fall way short, okay? All of sin that falls short of the glory of God. But God, knowing that, sent his son to die on a cross for us. And today would be a great day to believe. Paul would say, and able to say, be imitators of me as I imitate Jesus Christ. So it didn't just follow me, but as I'm following Jesus, then you follow like that as well. And so he had an incredible, intense level of commitment. Some things that made Paul an effective leader, let me just run through these. Obviously, his commitment to serve the Lord, the one who had forgiven him much. He called himself the chief of sinners because he persecuted the church and drug people out of their houses to prison because they were followers of Jesus. So he had been forgiven much. He didn't wait until he had, this is so critical, he didn't wait until he had an ideal situation to work for the Lord. This guy's in prison. Some of the last words that he says are, remember my chains, like I'm chained to somebody else. And so how easy would it have been to say, oh, Paul, just take a break or wait until you're a free man or be frustrated in all of the circumstances that he had. But he didn't do that. He didn't wait till he had an ideal situation to work for the Lord. He was writing scripture. People were coming to him. He was giving them apostolic advice received from the Lord as well. So he didn't wait for the ideal situation. And can I say, we shouldn't wait for the ideal situation. We have today. We don't know that we have tomorrow. We can work through things. God gathered to him individuals who had the common goal of being sold out for Jesus Christ, not just the educated and the talented. There were some of those as well. He worked with ordinary, regular people. And you know what we have at Lone Jack? Ordinary, regular people. And some of you guys are smarter than I am, but we're just all regular, ordinary people. We all put our pants on the same way. And God is able to work in us and among us for his glory. And this was a great demonstration of him doing that. Paul delegated responsibilities, empowering individuals to carry out their task. We're going to read a passage in a minute that speaks to that. I'm sending this person over here. I'm going to send this person over here. I can't go there, so I'm going to send this representative. And so he was able to administrate that, and then he let them function within the giftedness that they had. We're going to read a passage that speaks to that, him sending different people different places. He encourages those in the church who are down by telling others to come alongside of them. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. Verse 17, he says, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you received in the Lord. This guy was waning for whatever reason, discouraged, frustrated, things were going tough, whatever it might be. And so he called other believers to come alongside him and say, you just hold him up. You just carry him for a little while he's walking through that valley. Because you know what? We might walk through the valley. And sometimes we need someone to come alongside and encourage us as well. If Paul was a good leader, gifted and equipped by God, but he didn't have good people around him, would he have been able to accomplish all that he accomplished for the Lord? And the answer is no. He could be a great leader, but if he doesn't have good followers and good team members around him, he isn't going to be able to accomplish all that he did for the Lord. And I say that to say this. That means Paul, the leader, was necessary. And so were all of those other people, Onesimus and Tychicus and Aristarchus and all of those S's. Okay? They were all critical. They had different tasks, different responsibilities. That doesn't put Paul up here. It puts him doing what God wanted him to do. And every one of the other people doing what God wanted them to do. And when the leader and the followers work together, they accomplish the common goal of ultimately bringing glory to God, fulfilling ministry. And Paul was able to do that because God had given him that capacity. Everyone worked together. Everyone was important. No one more important than the other. No one less important than the other. Don't think you're less important just because your gift is different. God gifted you the way he gifted you, and he wants you to use that in a way that honors and glorifies him. And that's all that's expected of you. If we please our Lord, that's all that's expected. Who cares about what other people are thinking? And yet sometimes we get caught up in that. Each one is tasked by God. A good prayer to pray in this kind of a message at this time would be, God, what is my task that I do for you? And if something comes to mind, praise the Lord and do it by his grace to the best of your ability. But if you have to kind of grope and think, you know, I don't know that I have a task for the Lord, maybe it would be good to ask him, Lord, give me a task. Could you give me a task for you so that I can be used as well in ministry for your glory? I've got a feeling that one of these days when we see Jesus face to face, we are going to want to have been faithful in the tasks that he's given us in serving him. Let's take a look at this team really quickly. Tychicus is the first person. He had a servant's heart. Still with Paul at the end of his life in his second Roman imprisonment, we find in Scripture, Paul wanted Timothy to come to him, but he couldn't leave Ephesus. And so what Paul did was he sent Tychicus to Ephesus so that he could oversee what was going on there to free up Timothy so that he could come to him. He was entrusted to carry Scripture to Colossians, probably Ephesians, and likely Philemon also. Look at verse 8. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we're doing, that he may be that he may encourage your hearts. And likely this epistle that is written, a Colossians, Philemon, and maybe Ephesians as well, he carried. They didn't have backup copies. They didn't have a flash drive. They didn't have mail or certified mail or anything like that. They had one copy written by hand, and he was entrusted to carry it. He was trustworthy. He would cross much of Italy on foot, one person says, sail the Adriatic Sea, traverse Greece on foot, sail again across the Aegean Sea to the coast of Asia Minor, and still have to walk another 100 miles in order to get to Colossae. This guy was a trustworthy person. He had a servant's heart. He was part of the team. He wasn't any more important than Onesimus, the next person that we see, but he was significant and important because he was part of the team that God had placed him there. Onesimus was a man who had a sinful past. He was a runaway slave who came to know the Lord. Philemon is written as a result of this man. Philemon was his master. And Paul wrote Philemon. Onesimus was the reason that it was written. Philemon was one of the leaders in the church in Colossae. Onesimus was a man with a sinful past. He's a living demonstration of the power of God to transform a life. So I want you to just think about your past. And maybe you're here today and you have a heavy burden because of all of the things that you've done. Listen to this. Onesimus is a demonstration of the power of God, capable, able, even willing to transform a life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, submit ourselves to him, and the next thing you know, all different kinds of things begin to happen because God is involved in that spiritual growth. Aristarchus had a sympathetic heart. He was from Thessalonica. He was seized by a mob, we find in the book of Acts, because of his association with Paul at Ephesus. He continued with Paul to Jerusalem and now to Rome. He probably wasn't, it's believed, an official prisoner. He just was so committed to the gospel and his friend Paul and his mentor that he imprisoned himself beside him so that he could help take care of him. He was a person with a sympathetic heart. A fellow prisoner here is used as an endearing term. Mark was a man who got a second chance. He was different than Tychicus and Aristarchus. He began serving the Lord and then deserted his co-workers on the first missionary journey. I got to be the first one to say, I bet it was hard to work with the Apostle Paul. I mean, I got a feeling that to stay up with him and the demands that he had and leaving here and trusting God here, I bet it was difficult. And so we want to be kind of careful about how many things we say about Mark, because I think that would have been a difficult task. But he left the missionary, trip. It became such an issue between Barnabas, his cousin, and Paul that they split up and went different ways ministering the gospel. God used both of them. But thanks to Barnabas, Mark was restored to the work of the Lord, and in time, Paul recognized it as well. He said this, "Pick up Mark and bring him with you. He is useful to me for ministry." So that's just kind of how Paul's mind went. Mark has a task. He has a gifting from the Lord. He can be used of the Lord as well. He's named among Paul's fellow workers in Philemon as well. God gives, listen to this, God gives second chances. And if you need a second chance, you know the Lord and you're thankful for it, but things haven't gone the way you had hoped for, or the world got a hold of you, or your eyes go where they don't, or whatever it might be, God gives second chances. And it's the same way that we get the first chance, through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us as well. There was a man called Jesus who took the name Justice. He had a strong commitment. He was one of the two, maybe three Jews that were still with Paul. He was willing to take his stand no matter what the cost was. Don't miss what's happening here. The gospel is transitioning from a Gentile ministry where Jesus was walking on the earth, by and large rejected, to the Gentiles, to the Gentiles being opened up to the gospel. The Jews had a lot. They had Moses, they had Abraham, they had all of the Old Testament, they had the writings, and by and large, they missed the person of Jesus Christ. Some individuals found him by the grace of God, but as a nation, Romans 9, 10, and 11 talks about how they, at least for a space, have been blinded to the gospel while the gospel is turned to the Gentiles. It is so possible to be raised in the church that we hear the message over and over and over, and we become hardened to it as a small child. Don't miss it. Don't miss it like the Jews. Every single person in this place, everyone in the nursery, all of the kids down in Super Church, the preschoolers, all need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And hear this, mom and dad, you can't make them, okay? Now, they can probably say, you can't make me in other situations, but this one's a genuine, you can't make me. But we can present the gospel and pray, and then pray more, and then pray more, and see what God might do. God is a God of second chances as well. Epaphras, he had a single passion, likely the founder of the church in Colossae, probably current leaders, risked and sacrificed much for the welfare of the Colossian church. He recognized something's going on here with outside influences that is not spiritually healthy. He didn't know how to address it, so he took that huge trip to Rome so that he could talk with the Apostle Paul. Paul penned Colossians and then sent the letter back, so he had a passion. Even in Rome, it says, he prayed, labored earnestly for them that they would be perfect and fully assured in all they did of the will of God. Then there's Luke, the doctor. He left his consistent paying position. A doctor in that society wasn't as high and highly paid as what we have today, but they did fine. He left his consistently paying position to become Paul's personal physician. He traveled much with Paul, maybe everywhere except for the first missionary journey. He was educated. He would go on to write more in volume of the New Testament than any other New Testament writer. So we can see how Luke played a significant role in that team that walked with Paul. He gave up a practice of medicine, but God used him to influence even us today with the gospel. Because as we read the New Testament, we read his writings. Then there was Demas. Demas at this particular time had a walk with the Lord. He had a passion for the Lord, but he had a sad future. He wasn't going to stick with the Lord. It doesn't say that he was apostate. It doesn't make that strong of a declaration, but you kind of wonder. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is really another teamwork passage, and this has Demas involved as well. "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark, bring him with you, for he's very useful for me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." So the team dynamic changed a little bit. You see the leader leading, you see the followers following, and yet he allowed them to function in the giftedness that they had. Was he apostate? Demas, did he believe at one point and then cease to believe, doesn't say? Did he just get tired? Was Paul so difficult to work with that he just got tired? Or the bright lights and the flash of the world, and how much more in our day, did it just grab his attention so much that the idea of following Christ is limiting me from fulfilling the pleasures that I could have in this world? Says he loved this present world and wasn't walking. A sad commentary is what we have to say he's left with. He loved this present world. Every one of these mentioned were first and foremost followers of Jesus Christ, Paul included, and together they were able to do more for the Lord than they would have been able to do individually. And can I say that as a follower by the grace of God, the team that we had up here, as well as the other standing, as well as the other people that are on the team, and likely we'd have had a vast majority of people standing, serving in different places, together we can do more than just one person can do. And as we work together as a team and grow in the Lord, we're able to get more done for the Lord. God is able to be glorified more. A pastor in this place of almost 30 years, I think 29, 29 and a half years, Roger Nelson, some of you will still recognize his name, had a phrase that he coined, and this was the phrase. Everyone, if you know it, you can say it. Everyone is what? Okay. Awkward. Thank you. Very good. Very good. I knew somebody. I know you know everyone is a minister. And his drumbeat that he would beat from time to time is, I'm not the minister because I'm paid. As a matter of fact, all of the people that are up here, some there's a couple that are paid, most of them that aren't. They probably have more treasure in heaven than us that are getting paid. I already get part of my treasure. It comes in at earth. It comes in while I'm here on earth. But Roger would say every one of us is a minister. As God has equipped and gifted every one of us, he desires that we use it in the body and outside of the body for his glory. Every single one of us is a minister. So I'm coming back to the question that I ask. What team are you on? Okay? And let that penetrate, because if I'm not on a team, I think you really want to get to the place where you have something to offer to the Lord when we see him face to face. And that comes through ministry. Everyone's a minister. He's right. We've all been gifted not to wait until the perfect situation, but to work for the Lord reasonably, appropriately, responsibly. I really believe you're going to be glad if you sacrifice and serve when you see your Lord face to face. Because of Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Mark and Jesus, and who was called Justus, and Epaphras and Luke and Demas, Paul was able to continue to have effective ministry. Chained to a prison guard, he was able to continue to have effective ministry because he didn't wait until the perfect situation, when everything is just lined up just perfect. He didn't whine and complain. He didn't wait for the ideal situation. When I'm free, then I'm really going to do something for the Lord. When I retire, then I can really begin to do something in ministry. We ought to be doing ministry all of the time along the way. He did the best he could. Thank you. He did the best he could in the midst of the situation he found himself in, and then God mixed his grace into it, and we have the benefit of being able to read and conclude in Colossians today. We wouldn't have that if he had that I'm just going to wait till the perfect situation mentality. Friday evening, Kathy and I went to an art demonstration. I went for her. That's really not my niche, but it was fun. We went to an art demonstration, saw a couple of my kids there. She has a second cousin who, with another girl or another lady, had demonstrated some of the works that they had. And they had even titled their event, While We Wait. They're both young. They're both looking. They both got, one had family, the other didn't have a family. They're trying to figure out what it is that they're doing in life. But this one gal, Emily, even said that the Lord asked her, what is it that you're doing while you're waiting? Look at how many things we wait for. We wait for retirement. We wait till our kids graduate. We wait till we get married. We wait till we get pregnant. If we're never doing anything until we're not waiting anymore, we're going to wake up doing nothing one of these days. So we don't want to just wait. That doesn't mean that we don't wait for things, but in the midst of our waiting, we continue to serve the Lord. You even notice how much, yeah, there we go. I want to encourage us to join a team and not just be passive participants in the body of Christ. What team am I on? What ministry might I be engaged in? And some of these were representative, and they would be more than willing to sit down and talk with you. There are lots of places to serve in the body of Christ. Let me mention one final thing, and then we'll conclude this epistle. Look at verse 15. He says this. He says, "Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be to you." I wanted to draw our attention to the phrase here, the church in Nympha's house. Maybe it was in Laodicea. I don't know. But what we have is a house church. A house church similar to the one that's mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 3, the church that was mentioned in Aquila and Priscilla's house. Philemon 2 indicates another house church. This is what it says. "To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house." The idea of the house church, they couldn't have been extremely large, just by definition of it being a house church. Even if they were wealthy, they wouldn't have been extremely large. More like pockets of believers over here, and pockets of believers over here, and pockets of believers over here. And the reason I want to draw attention to that is because we can fall into the American or human or both, I'm not sure which, we can fall into the deception that if we're bigger and bigger and better and have more things going on, then God is really at work in this place. Listen, God was at work in these house churches as well. And we should do not what other churches do, we should do what the Lord leads us to do. And when we do what the Lord leads us to do, that is the definition of success. Us being pleasing to the Lord, using the giftedness that he's given us, making disciples, trying to reach other people for the Lord as well in a way that's pleasing to him. We can't do the things that everybody else does. Last week, the elders let me go to a place up in Oak Grove, a small church, and they've released me to do this about 3 times a year. And we had a leader-follower workshop. This is a church of 40 people. They were 40, 45. People that were there, and what's interesting is they aren't supposed to be like we're supposed to be, and we're not supposed to be like Connection Point, I believe it is. We're not supposed to be what they're the way they are. But the challenge in that is these days we can pull up a message on social media, we can watch something on TV, we're exposed to all of the stuff that's going on out there, and if we try and bring it all into this place, it's overwhelming. Can't do it. Not supposed to do it. And so there's wisdom that's required and a seeking and a searching of the Lord. And I wanted to draw our attention to that, this idea of the house church. Jesus, in the midst of these pockets of the church that were there, was continuing to build his church like he said he was going to do. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In the year 313, with the Edict of Milan, Constantine significantly influenced the church with a proclamation that legalized Christianity and allowed for freedom of worship throughout the Roman Empire. That sounds like it's fantastic, and there are aspects of it that are good, and there are also aspects of it that aren't good, because now all of a sudden, becoming someone who's a worker in the church can be a profession that I seek instead of a Lord that I seek to serve. And it just needs some wisdom there. Even then, Jesus continues to build his church. And when we look out at our church, when we look at the church, by a loose definition, around our world these days, even then, Jesus probably, in the midst of that, is able to build his church. Just because somebody claims that they are part of a church doesn't mean they're part of his church. We got to be really careful there. This is what he told his church just prior to his ascension. He came and spoke to them saying, "All authority," I'm going to emphasize the key words here, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And Acts 2, verse 42, continues to be a good measuring rod for us as a church and other churches that seek to please the Lord. continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That would be Bible for us. In the apostles, they didn't have Bible then. In the New Testament, they continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. And can I emphasize that the breaking of bread and fellowship is just as significant and has its equal place in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer? That's why we're emphasizing life groups and rooted together classes, and get together with somebody, have them over for a meal, and let the conversation of your life and your heart overflow, and it'll be encouraging in spiritual things. Interaction and relationships is a big deal. The goal isn't to do what every other church does. It's to follow the Lord and what he has for this church here. And I am so thankful that we have teams of people that enable ministry to happen and be effective. Can we get better? Of course we can get better. Are there ministries that we're not doing that the Lord might lead us to do sometime in the future? Of course they are. That's why I had Josh stand up, because there's always something new, whatever it is that the Lord wants to do. Growing to be strong disciples, seeking to make more, to reproduce. That's why we continue to emphasize the things that we're emphasizing. So I want to just finish with let's run our race. But let's not just run our race. Let's run our race to win. We don't want to just finish cross the finish line the 50th. We want to run our race to win. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you. And I thank you for a lot of people who have a heartbeat to serve you. And yet even then, Lord, we recognize that Jesus, some of your last words before you ascended were, go and make more disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. I'm with you always. Do it. And so I pray that we would have hearts that are moldable and changeable, that we'd function within the giftedness that you've given us, function on the teams that you've put us into, but that we'd always be asking the question, how can we glorify you more? Father, we thank you for the epistle to the Colossian believers, and ask that even as we reread it, we'll be re-reminded of things that you placed upon our heart, and we ask that you'd continue to change us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.